interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Friday to you. And it is a TGIF opening day, February 15 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Northside High School on 1037 The Game. Ben Love at the home of the Vikings inside the gym, fired up to be here, fired up for LSU UL opening day. But the lead story, where I will begin momentarily, Dell Demps out, finally, mercifully, as New Orleans Pelicans GM. Joined, as always, by my partner in crime, the famous Clint D. He's inside the 237 Roof Studios, and we got 2.5 hours coming at you, leading in to LSU-ULM baseball from the box. Again, first pitch, 7 o'clock. You'll hear the call. Doug Thompson, Chris Blair, pregame show begins at 6:30. Between now and then, here's how we're going to celebrate opening day. In our very next segment, I've been trying to get him all week long. Today finally worked out. Former LSU Tiger, and he's now the NBA G League's leader in three-point percentage, Keith Hornsby of the Texas Legends, coming aboard about 10 or 11 minutes from right now. And, of course, we're going to talk LSU Tigers basketball with Keith Hornsby. What does he think about this 2019 team that, well, come this time 3 days from now, might just be knocking on the door of the top 10 or 12 teams in America? So Keith Hornsby with us in our next segment and the only guest of hour number one. To begin hour two at straight up 5 o'clock, the On Deck Circle with James Moran, editor of Tiger Rag Magazine, and that will be a live scene setter from Alec Box. A little bit more focused on the LSU side, frankly, than the Warhawks or what Army, the Air Force Academy, had to bring to the table. So we're not looking for a scouting report. We just want James to tell us the youngsters that are going to have a chance. And not just the guys on the mound, like Jaden Hill Sunday, but some of the newbies to the everyday lineup. They're going to have opportunities to do some shuffling during this military appreciation weekend. James Moran will clue you in to all the new faces and tell you which ones to look out for at 5 o'clock. And he'll be our only guest during hour number two, but you're also, during the 5 o'clock hour, going to hear some of the best in the week that was when it comes to Cajuns baseball conversation. And we had a lot of it. Jace Conrad, former UL All-American, current UL assistant coach Daniel Freeman have both been on B2BS. And so we're going to run back some of their best to give Cajuns fans the drop on what's coming with the Texas Longhorns. First pitch from Teague Moore Field tonight, 6:30 p.m. Joint is going to be absolutely packed out. And from 6 until 6:30, to bring us home today, he's going to help me run anchor leg on the program, James Ricks, longtime assistant coach for these Northside Vikings. He was gracious enough to help open up the doors here, along with Coach Herbstler. We're happy to be here. James Ricks, going to talk Northside Vikings past and present, as well as area basketball. Again, that's 6 until 6:30. From the preps to the pros, we truly have you covered today. You want to get in on the program, give us a holler. 706-0111. And your big news, as I led off with, Dell Demps, almost 9 years in as general manager of the New Orleans Pelicans, formerly the New Orleans Hornets, has been fired. Gail Benson has pulled the trigger on this move, and that's a good starting point. That's what you like to see. She's getting her hands dirty, so to speak, getting involved with the stepchild franchise, not just the Saints, and making the move that had to be made. And as she has put it, this franchise is seeking a GM to take command of Anthony Davis trade talks, which reached even more bizarre levels last night, as if that were possible. But she's looking for the GM that will deal with the AD deal and get the right amount back, and the right GM to help reshape the team's future. And before I start to look into what's next and entertain your phone calls, this is a great opportunity a tremendous opportunity for me to remind you, boy, is there a place for local sports talk radio. And boy, is there a place for your local newspaper reporter, right? Because the national perspective on today's events could not be any more off base, couldn't be any more incorrect. And I see how sometimes we fall into this trap when national stories break out of L.A. or Boston or New York, Miami, and everybody locally must think, boy, they just don't have a clue, because that's exactly how I feel today. The national notion or sentiment that Dell Demps is out because he didn't take the Lakers deal before the trade deadline a week ago yesterday, because he didn't deal Anthony prior to the trade deadline, that is the dumbest load of you-know-what I have ever heard. Today, Gail Benson put a horse out of its misery that for years has been in charge of what can only be described as a long-term systemic failure. Do not forget that. And so I'm happy to be the one to help drive that home today in case that needed any reiteration or explanation in your mind. It is some of the dumbest rhetoric I've ever seen on Twitter, Facebook, and everywhere today. This idea that Dell Demps didn't get rid of AD. He didn't take the quote-unquote Godfather deal or the King's ransom from the Lakers. Let's make one thing very clear. Gail Benson, Mickey Loomis, Danny Ferry, who might just be a candidate to replace Demps in-house, they were never going to let that Lakers deal happen. By all reports and indications, they did everything they could to leak those deals and quote-unquote sabotage the Lakers. You say sabotage, I say savvy business, tomato, tomato. But Dell Demps was fired because he's allowed 13 years of Chris Paul and Anthony Davis, or at least his tenure was during the better portion of those two. He allowed those to come and go without any continued, consistent success. And so, yes, even though Anthony Davis is literally walking out that door, led by Daddy Rich Paul last night, this isn't the reason that Demps is gone. He's gone because he couldn't get this right over a long stretch of time. And so what is next? First off, big picture, no matter who the person is, no more reporting to Mickey Loomis. Because all indications are that Demps has been reporting his moves, his ideas, everything he wants to do to Loomis. That is ludicrous. Mickey Loomis is the GM of one of the top four or five franchises modern day in the NFL. He's got enough on his plate. Even if he has Jeff Ireland to help him, he shouldn't have to come over and give you 10 to 15% of his brain space. So this new higher-level GM, top-shelf GM, some of the terms I've seen thrown out today by New Orleans sports writers, and I agree, they need to shoot for the stars. This person's going to have autonomy. They're going to take the reins, and you don't need Mickey to run your shop. That, to me, is first and foremost. When you start to look at candidates, Danny Ferry in-house is someone who's been mentioned, currently a consultant for the Pelicans. He's been the GM of the Cavs, where he played the Atlanta Hawks, got into a little bit of trouble during the end of his stay with the ATL because of some unsavory remarks that were made on scouting reports. But nonetheless, he's a candidate. If you look at some of the others that are being thrown around at this point, to me, the guy I would love to see is David Griffin. You'll recall, former Cavs GM, somebody that didn't get along with Cavs owner Dan Gilbert, who does. And when he was let go, I told you on this program, Cleveland's going to regret that. That's a huge mistake. But it could just end up being the gain for New Orleans. And I'll tell you, what most appeals to me about this hire, if they could pull it off to get David Griffin, he knows a lot about a star leaving. Under his watch, if I'm not mistaken, LeBron left not once but twice to Miami and then to L.A. Now, I'm not sure he got to oversee what came back in return from L.A., but we know that he's used to having to rebuild a franchise that otherwise was going to be left in shambles. Does that sound familiar to you? So for me, David Griffin would be somebody very appealing for that job. A final note that I'll make on the subject, because we're going to have plenty of time to get into this during 2.5 hours. The other idea that's been kind of spread today is that Alvin Gentry and his staff, for the time being, are safe. And I'm actually pretty relieved to hear it. I think that's the right move. Whether or not he remains an ex-head coach, that's completely dependent on who the GM is that comes in. You can't tell him how to cook. He's going to come in and want his own ingredients, as anybody should. But I like the idea that they're not getting rid of Gentry and the baby with the bathwater here. The big move that had to be made was today. Anthony Davis, whether through the advice of his father, LeBron James, or straight from new daddy, Rich Paul, is not speaking for himself anymore. And when he does open his mouth, it's only tarnishing a sterling reputation that he had while in New Orleans. And so while it's getting uglier in the Big Easy, today was a big step toward things getting right. And I know you want to talk about LSU baseball. You want to discuss UL baseball. I do too. But this was a big story, not only locally, but nationally. And I think the perception from those two spectrums needed to be discussed a little bit off top. But we will get to the Tigers and Cajuns on the other side of this break. Keith Hornsby will join us to talk LSU basketball and his journey with the Texas Legends. Stick with us. You're listening to Bumper Sports, taking you home and into the weekend on 103.7 The Game.
Without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt, winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Fired up for our next guest. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back to Northside High School, campus of the Vikings. And we're glad to have you, taking you home on 103.7 The Game. All right, let's get out now to the ARTCO Equipment Hotline. Glad to have back former LSU Tiger. Currently, he is the G League's three-point percentage leader for the Texas Legends, and it is Keith Hornsby. How are you, Keith?
I'm doing pretty well. How about you?
I'm doing very well. And look, before we get into LSU and what's going on with the Texas Legends, I'm here at the home of a proud high school basketball program. You played for one of the proudest in America, Oak Hill Academy. What are some of the things that you remember most about those days?
Wow. Honestly, one of the things I remember most was probably being prepared for college than most normal high schools as far as basketball goes, mainly in the sense of all the travel we had to do and just being disciplined on the road, and also just the heightened level of competition. I mean, Oak Hill plays against a very tough schedule every year. So I'm not going to lie, I was a little in over my head at first when I first got there, but it, you know, forced me to whip me into shape really fast, shall I say.
Well, the level of competition obviously was nationwide when you played for Oak Hill, but what were some of the ways that maybe once you got to your first stop in college and then to LSU that you felt you were absolutely prepared for it and maybe more than some of the guys around you?
I guess, you know, it started at Oak Hill when I was playing against high major competition there. I mean, almost all of my teammates went to high major schools. So, and then the next step was at UNC Asheville, where I actually played, you know, actual games against high majors, even though we were kind of a lower tier D1. And once I had success against, you know, Ohio State, NC State, St. John's, you know, it just everything's starts to feel different. You know, your confidence level just changes. And then the next step was seeing if I could actually survive in a high major conference like the SEC at LSU. And then we just went from there.
I'm glad you led us to LSU. That's where we're heading next. The upset, if we can even call it that. I know by rankings it was, but boy, those teams look pretty even to me. But the game in Rupp Arena, I guess your reaction to the tip-in, the win, and then everything that's followed?
Well, I watched the whole game. I mean, it's one thing I regret. It's not really something I can regret because I didn't really have any control over it, was that I never got to play a game in Rupp Arena. So I'm always a little envious when I see those guys playing on that floor. I mean, because it's one of the greatest college basketball environments, especially when the team is hot. And, boy, Kentucky was hot going into that game, as was LSU, obviously. But, you know, the atmosphere had to be just almost second to none, you know, up on the level of, you know, Allen Fieldhouse, Cameron Indoor. So seeing these guys is a big test for them. And they just did so well. I mean, I just had they exude so much confidence out of the observer, I think, when watching them. Just on how hard they play, their defense is so locked in. And they just, I think their talent blends with their chemistry so well, and we're just seeing the results. I mean, 10-1 in conference, you can't, you know, that's not, there's no luck in that. That's just pure preparation and execution. And, you know, the tip in, woo, that was, I didn't think it was, honestly, I thought it was illegal when I first saw it, but then sure enough, all the replays, it is kind of bouncing towards the outer part of the rim. So a great win in front of a mad Big Blue Nation. I mean, after that, you know, 22,000 plus people were going home pretty bummed and angry after that one. But I was thrilled for the Tigers.
Keith Hornsby, our guest, right now playing for the Texas Legends. That's the NBA G League affiliate for Mark Cuban's Dallas Mavericks. And a great follow on Twitter is Keith, at KHornsby4. There's not a lot of this LSU team, Keith, I know, that was being recruited while you were still there. Will Wade has turned over the roster a lot. But I feel quite certain that Skylar Mays was coming onto campus while you were still there. So take us back to what you remember of Skylar then, and, boy, the player he's become now, because he is just instrumental right now for this team.
Totally. I met Skylar right when I got there, you know, out of even my sit out here. He was definitely younger then, but, you know, obviously being from Baton Rouge, he'd come and play, pick up and work out with us in the summers. You could just tell by talking to him that he's kind of a man beyond his years, and gets his maturity, and he's just a smart guy. Along with obviously his skill on the floor. So, you know, when he puts all those attributes together, blended with his hard work on the court, you just see the results. I mean, he's gotten better each year, and, you know, now he's just a huge leader, you know, such an important presence for these guys, I know, on and off the floor. So, obviously, you know, I wish he made that shot, that little floater at the end, because that would have been just, you know, an incredible moment for him and the team.
Now with Keith Hornsby on 103.7 The Game. All right, one more on LSU. You guys played in one tournament game while you were there. I'm not going to ask you to remember it. I also was there in Pittsburgh that night. But the feeling of getting to the Big Dance and what it's like leading into that game, how would you describe that as compared to maybe a regular season game at LSU?
Well, from the moment you lace up your shoes at the beginning of the year, that's primary goal for should be every college team, especially a school like LSU, you know, with such high sports expectations. So obviously those games are heightened. You know, everybody's watching them. You know, you got Vegas is involved. I mean, it's just an incredibly heightened experience. And you know, it's beyond that extra stuff. You know, you just want to make a mark for your school. You just want to. It's a perfect chance after grinding all year through conference play and non-conference, all the practices, to pay off at the end of the year with success on the biggest stage of college basketball. So, obviously, my tournament experience, you know, with LSU, I went with Asheville as well, but with LSU didn't go like we wanted to, especially the second half. And obviously, I wish things were different, but, you know, still, I am thankful for that experience and for that year.
I lied. I'm going to sneak in one more on LSU. From what you've seen right now, these Tigers, do you believe that they have what it takes to make a run?
Yeah, if they're consistent, if they're playing like they are and don't get kind of complacent, which can happen with, you know, if you just keep winning naturally. It's just looking like it. Can't jump to conclusions, but they seem to have most of the pieces necessary. That's just great rim protection. They have, you know, shooters. They have, obviously, Tremont's an incredible point guard. And their defense, you have Javonte Smart, you know, he's capable offensively, but, you know, also he's, he's played such ferocious defense. And, of course, Naz Reid, you know, when he's engaged, he's an unstoppable force. So, along with other, I'm not going to name everybody, obviously, but it's a cohesive unit, and it's a, We'll see. I mean, they have, you know, 7 conference games left, and then the tournament, and hopefully they continue this great role that they're on.
Finishing up now with Keith Hornsby on 103.7 The Game. I mentioned you're shooting it from deep at a high clip this year for the Texas Legends. What's starting to come together for your game is, hey, you're not just an early pro anymore. You've been doing this for a couple of years, so it sounds like starting to come second nature.
Yeah, I mean, my first year out, the NBA 3 is just, it's so different than the college 3. You know, college 3 literally feels like mid-range now. So I wish I could go to college now and shoot that. It'd be feel insanely easy. But, you know, a lot of it just goes to, I'm going to put on myself. I mean, I, you know, the 3 is such glorified in the NBA and G League now. So, you know, you're doing yourself a favor if you're shooting it well. And I think I couldn't be doing that really better from 3, although I'll try. But, I mean, it's a lot of hard work. And then, of course, you just got to see it go in the games. I mean, in the games is different. And, you know, you keep on making them. You keep on putting in the work. You get the confidence, feel the confidence from the coaches and your teammates. And, hey, one thing leads to another, and you just keep it rolling.
You know, we appreciate you coming aboard, especially in the midst of a season. This has been a fun run, and hopefully it continues for LSU. If it does, we're going to have to get you back.
Hey, I'll be ready. Let me know.
Keith, you're the man. Continued success.
All right, thank you.
That's Keith Hornsby of the Texas Legends. And I think I set a new record. Not one mention of a certain Grammy Award winner in his family during that interview. Not one. It can be done. So to the national, regional media out there, you can take notes on that. Yes, it's basketball season. That's why I'm here today at 7:15 on our sister station, The Rewind. That's 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Chuck. We're going to have Westgate at Northside, the District 4-4A finale for both of these teams that will be heading into the Class 4A playoff bracket. So, yeah, basketball, it's everywhere. Baseball, it's coming real soon. But on the other side, I'll tell you about a hire that LSU football made. More on that when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out at the home of the Vikings, Northside High, on 103.7 The Game.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Baseball questions are coming at you, but first, a football update from the Capital City. You're listening to Bumper Sports live from Northside High School on 103.7 The Game. Let's get you that football update. Perhaps you've seen it, but I'm going to share a little bit of my thoughts on it. The Tigers reportedly are hiring Cleveland Browns assistant Mark Hudson. And there's a couple of moving pieces there. Hudson, by all reports, indications, coming in. Steve Kragthorpe going out. Now, Kragthorpe, we know, had a span as head coach, what, at Louisville? A guy that came over, was on Les Miles' staff, was set to be offensive coordinator, but was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and I believe that was 2012. Instead, you saw Greg Stadrawa elevated to offensive coordinator. Since that point, Kragthorpe has remained on, I think almost exclusively, in an analyst role. But according to today's news, Kragthorpe going to be moving on, leaving the staff for an NFL job. Mark Hudson coming in. Here's what we know about Hudson. He was a player at Oklahoma, an offensive lineman. And he spent the majority of his career at the professional ranks and the college ranks, coaching them up. He was a 5-year assistant at Tulane, actually became the interim head coach after Bob Toledo was fired. Most recently, he's been an offensive line assistant with the Cleveland Browns. He has served as the tight ends coach for the Oakland Raiders, East Illinois associate head coach. And so what I'm going to suggest to you is this. From everything I could piece together so far, LSU right now is building its offense and the brain trust behind it differently than that quote-unquote sexy or splash hire. That didn't go well for anybody when Matt Canada was thrust upon Ed Orgeron year one as a head coach. Now, from the looks of things, Steve Ensminger is going to lead the way. Joe Brady, don't forget, who came over about 3 or 4 weeks ago from the New Orleans Saints, a guy credited with helping to integrate Taysom Hill maybe with some of the player development of guys like Alvin Kamara, Mike Thomas. Joe Brady comes over, and he's going to be the passing game coordinator. And now, one of the newest bricks in the wall is Mark Hudson, a guy who does have experience in the state. Now, it doesn't appear he's going to be one of the 10 assistant coaches or coordinators, but a guy in-state that can help you out, who's recruited to Tulane, who's been on the offensive side of the ball his whole life. What I'm going to suggest to you is that LSU football is finding a new way of building its offensive brain trust, and it's not just that one splash hire. Marinate on that. All right, CD, it is opening day in college baseball around America. In fact, they're playing ball right now in Stark, Vegas, and in a couple of different places. At 6:30, UL opens up at home against Texas. Gunnar Leger taking the bump. Excited for that young man. 7 p.m. at the Box, LSU, ULM, first of a three-game set at home for Military Appreciation Weekend. It's time to put our predictions on the line. It's time for the Sink or Swim Questions of the Day.
Exciting and new.
Same question going on two different sides of the basin. What are your expectations for this LSU baseball season? And what are your expectations for this UL baseball season? You know the drill. Call up, give us your thoughts. You can go in on both. You can go in on one or the other. Just give us some of your expectations. If it's in the form of a record, great. How far they go, that's fine too. Could just be some of the things you're most looking forward to. Whenever you're ready, 706-0111. CD, I'll let you go in on both, but I'm a little more curious your thoughts on the Raging Cajuns.
And that's exactly where I'm going to lead off here, Ben. With the Cajuns, I think the expectations for them are about where they were last year. You're going to wind up winning the Sun Belt West Division. I feel like that's pretty much where my expectations are with them right now, just the basic expectations, because there's a whole lot that I don't know about heading into opening weekend. Of course, obviously, you got Hanson Modica. He's there. You got a lot of returning names, but it's all about what you want to see from them in this first weekend. If you talk to me come Monday and they look really, really good against a really good Texas squad, I could wind up saying it's a lot higher for the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. I could say possibly hosting a regional. It's all about how they do opening weekend, because I feel like that's my barometer. With LSU, though, I think LSU is on a whole different spectrum for me. I feel like the expectations for LSU for me are the same as they were back in June. Omaha. Paul Manieri doesn't want his guys talking about it, but I think that's where we got to talk about it right now. That's where LSU's expectations are. I think that's where they're going to stay all season long because of the fact you got so much talent that's coming back that is extremely talented.
Well put. We got time for more. YP, you people out there in listener land, perk up on a Friday and give us a call. 706-0111. I'll go Oppo. I'll start with LSU, and I'll take it a step further than you did. I think the expectations are to advance far in Omaha. Anytime you come out and say the expectations are national championship or bust, well, you're not leaving yourself much room for error. You're not leaving any margin, in fact. And while I know that's the feeling of many, I think this team has to get into the final eight and then make a run that's at least akin to what we saw 2 years ago, where LSU was into the final two, where they were playing the best two of three against Florida. They have to get into the College World Series and make noise while there. Because if I tell you today, the day after Valentine's Day, that they are supposed to win it all or this season was a bust, I don't know if that's completely fair. But I know there are many of you out there that do feel that way. This is 10 years. 2009 was the last time that LSU won the national championship. You're all very acutely aware of that. I know. It's been 10 years. You think the drought's ready to end. And unlike LSU football for so many years, LSU baseball, I mean, this is the second time in 4 years. Think about it. It's the second time in what would be an average recruiting cycle for a kid that comes in and stays the full ride. Second time in 4 years that kids that could have gone pro came back. That is how you do it. That's the best way to do it. In terms of getting into the final 64, then the final 16, then the final 8, and ultimately what Omaha's really about, having the pitching to get home from there. This LSU team is pointed toward Omaha, but I think, Clint, they have to get there and make some noise. Those are my expectations. For the Raging Cajuns, I'll tell you what I think is the ceiling. They need to win the Sun Belt Conference tournament and be at least a dangerous two seed in the NCAA tournament somewhere, at least, if not have the chance to host a regional. But note what I said there. I mentioned ceiling because with so much newness, with so much green at pitcher, it'd be hard for those to be the expectations. Now, that said, this season has a chance to be one where offensively they're more consistent at the plate. They have some power to back up run manufacturing. And if they could send a message, a shot across the bow this weekend, win 2 out of 3 against Texas, beat LSU. Last year they did it at the Teague. If they could do it in Metairie for the first time in what feels like forever, if they could do those types of things, then yeah, UL could be that team that once they get to the Sun Belt Conference 30, takes it home, and from there, sky's the limit. But if you're going to ask me expectations, I'm going to say win the Western Division and put yourself in a place from an arms race standpoint to win the Sun Belt Conference tournament. The lack of competitive nature in that tournament, even hosted last year here in the Hub City, I don't think is going to sit well with Cajuns fans. It's bad enough that over a 3 or 4 year span, the Sun Belt football hierarchy went from being UL, Arkansas State to App State, Arkansas State, and then Troy. Now I think Billy Napier is actively changing that, but it's bad enough that you've seen UL fall from the upper echelon of football teams in the Group of Five Sun Belt. But if that happens in baseball as well, that's not a direction that this athletic department under Dr. Brian Magger needs to go. This is a season where my expectations are, forget about the numerics, forget about this tournament, that tournament. My expectations are this year, the Cajuns get back on top and claim what rightly for years was theirs, top spot in the Sun Belt Conference. And I think they've got a real chance to do that. All right, no takers so far. Why don't we give you a commercial break to think on it? Call us when you're ready. 706-0111. Otherwise, we've got plenty of time to go back to Dell Demps, the Pelicans, going in a new direction. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports, fifth straight week. We've had the pleasure of being on campus. This time around, we're at the home of the Vikings, Northside High School, and thrilled to bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Expectations. We're talking all about them for LSU and UL baseball. We get time for yours right about now. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from Northside High School on 103.7 The Game. And I'll tell you this. It's hard to say, as I mentioned, win the national championship or it wasn't good enough. But the response we're getting so far is one rung on the ladder below that. Clint has farmed the question out from an LSU perspective on Twitter, and Drew Johnson, it is trophy emoji or bust for LSU. Our guy Dougie Dreg says Omaha. Dave Schultz has just posted what appears to be a gif of Mr. T, I believe Rocky III, saying pain. Okay, it's not bad when you're predicting things in sports. Our friend Blaine texting into the program, CWS or bust. If this team with this talent doesn't make Omaha this season, is a failure. So let's address that, and we'll take calls on the Tigers or the Cajun side. Again, the number, 706-0111. There are so many freshman pitchers for LSU, and it doesn't concern me, but it's going to take maybe a month or so, perhaps even two, dipping in SEC play, to figure out which ones are going to be for real consistently. Mikhail Hilliard last year, pretty good example of a young man who got thrust into a position. They didn't begin the year, I don't recall thinking that he was going to be a weekend guy, game in, game out. But here's the thing. By the end of the season, and I believe some of it was at least shoulder arm injury related, if memory serves, he wasn't the presence that he was. And he's so dependent on that looping curve that any kind of arm, shoulder, elbow-type discomfort was going to throw him off of his game. And so I'm curious, and that's part of the reason that the shakeup involving Eric Walker is interesting. I'm curious which of these freshman righties is for real and consistent. Is it going to be Jaden Hill? Is it going to be Cole Henry? I think everybody believes that it's going to be Landon Marceau. But if Marceau finds a way to be Alex Lang, Aaron Nola, freshman-type good, they're going to Omaha, I'll tell you right now. But if he's not and nobody else is, might be interesting. All right, let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. T, happy Friday. What you got for us?
How you doing, Ben?
I am great today. I mean, I'm at a place where music is playing. High school basketball is coming soon. College baseball is going to be played within a couple stones throw from me. It's a great time to be alive, brother.
There you go, my man. Hey, listen, it's Omaha bust, but I'm not too much worried about the pitching staff. I'm more worried about the catching position. Because that's very important.
Well, it is. And the fact that there's at least some injury there and that they're not able to go with Saul Garza full time, I think that starts the season as a concern. But when fully healthy, I'll be interested to see if they end the season in a better place there. But I don't know that we can predict that now. Maybe it's just hoping that.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Josh Smith play because he's really good. He's Alex Bregman good. He really is. So I'm excited about that. I hope he stays, injury-free.
T, I appreciate the call. Enjoy the weekend.
Y'all too, Ben.
You know, when Hunt Palmer speaks on LSU Baseball, I listen. And when he said on this show yesterday he thinks that Josh Smith is in for an All-America-type season, I mean, I heard him, right? I guess that's what I'm telling you. I banked that. And if he can avoid injury, Josh Smith in the same lineup where you saw guys return that don't always, guys that had a chance to go pro, Antoine Duplantis, I'm right in our backyard here at Lafayette High School, Zach Watson. If you combine those guys at the top of the lineup with the young man who I think is their best hitter, is the best future pro prospect, at least from the plate, in Daniel Cabrera, if you combine all those guys, there's no reason for LSU to have offensive power outages for extended stretches of this season. I know that it happens. Might be a weekend set, could be a week, could be a week and a half. But I think that's a habit they're going to be able to kick if they get into it. I don't think a lot of peaks and valleys are coming this offense's way. And if some of these freshman pitchers, as I've outlined for you, can step up, sky is the limit, and it will be Omaha or bust. All right, anybody else on the LSU side or the Cajun side? We'll have more time to address in the 5 o'clock hour. In fact, we're going to lead your on-deck circle interview with James Moran straight up 5 o'clock. But we're going to start to dip a little more into some basketball waters during that hour as well. I got some shade to throw, and unfortunately, the LHSAA girls playoff bracket has given me plenty of ammunition there. If you saw some of the scores that I did in the paper and online, an atrocity. So we got some other business to attend to in hour number two. And don't forget, James Rick's going to sit in live with me from 6 to 6:30. We'll talk some of the greatest to ever play at Northside High School. And as I look up to the left of me right now, it's hard to miss a 2006 state champion team, went 35-5. Hard to miss when you look to the right, some of the teams that made very, very deep runs in the Class 4A playoffs. So looking forward to that conversation. We might even talk a little Louisiana AAU ball as well. But if you want to get in, LSU UL baseball, your time is now. The number 706-0111. Another thing, Clint, as I've got some time, and I'll talk Cajuns baseball, I made reference to some of the other pitchers. What's your confidence level in Gunnar Leger? And not as a worker, not as a quality individual, but as far as having bounced back fully from an injury, everything we're hearing is positive. But I guess individually, how are you feeling today?
You know, I'm feeling fairly confident in him because it's the fact that he hasn't pitched in almost, I think, what I heard, it was like 400 days or some crazy amount of time. He's been away from baseball. He's been able to recover fully. It's not like he wound up just missing like 12 months. This is like an extended period of time. He's been away from the game. He's had plenty of time to recover and get himself ready to go for one more year with the Vermilion White. I'm fairly confident in what he can do. It's all about how long are you going to wind up putting him out there. I know we talked with Daniel Freeman earlier in the week, and we'll wind up replaying some of that during the show later on in the 5 o'clock hour. But we know there's going to be a pitch count for these guys, but I'm interested to see how many pitches he's going to wind up being limited in the season opener.
Yeah, I don't need to see Gunnar Leje throw more than about 70 or 75 pitches tonight. That's just my money. I'm not Tony Robichaud. I'm not Daniel Freeman. They know more about baseball than I ever will. But he doesn't need to prove something to me in game one. I want him there for game 55. I want there to be 55 games, and I want him to still be there doing what he does. But if he's right all season long on Fridays for you, then you've got every chance, if the offense can be consistent, to win 20-plus games in the Sun Belt Conference. And for LSU, you have to win 20 games in the SEC to be on your way toward hosting a regional and then possibly a super regional. So if I wanted to talk numbers for LSU, I would say I think this year's team is capable of going 20, 21, maybe on the upper limits, 22 wins in the SEC. That's their potential. That's their range. On the Cajun side, they need to get close to that 19, 20 range, but then make a dent in the RPI with the midweek opportunities. And they'll have some, as always, this year. All right. The topic is fairly untouched. No big deal. We can come back to it in hour number two. James Moran's going to be with us on the other side of this hour break. Before we get there, Clint, how about one final word?
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Initial. And the initial step toward the Pelicans getting right was made today. It had nothing to do with trading or not trading Anthony Davis before the deadline last Thursday. It was all about getting new blood in a leadership position. Dell Demps out today, and a lot of people who've come on this show who have covered the recent history of the association say positive things about Dell Demps. Nothing wrong with him as an individual to me, but this role wasn't working out, and it probably should have happened years ago. 9 years this thing has festered, the cord and the plug needed to be pulled. Today it was. Somebody else is going to come in, Mickey Loomis, Gail Benson. They won't have to have their hands dirty anymore. Somebody new is going to come in and take control of this thing. At least that's the hope. And the initial step was made today. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. We're coming right back. James Moran, he'll be with us. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
It's time to get you ready for LSU baseball. Step into the on-deck circle with James Moran on 1037 The Game.
And his wish will be our command. Bumper to Bumper Sports. Back into the home of the Northside High Vikings on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here for basketball reasons, but as he just told you, it's time for a big-time baseball conversation. Out to Baton Rouge, aboard the Artco Equipment Hotline, bringing back our friend James Moran, editor of Tiger Rag Magazine. How are you, James?
I'm doing well, Ben. I'm doing well. In all my time on this beat, this has got to be the nicest weather there's ever been for opening night. And I'm not going to – what do I say that? But I do acknowledge that's a low bar. It's about 65 and breezy, but that's nicer than it normally is.
An opening day conversation with our man James Moran. And let's start with the shakeup in the rotation. At this point, we all get kind of the method behind the madness. Eric Walker not quite ready yet, and so Jaden Hill is going to slot in Sunday. If you could, a little clarification, James, on just what role Walker might play tonight. Ideally, how would Maneri and Dunn like to pitch this thing tonight in the opener?
I think the plan is, and look, plans are predicated on guys being effective and not throwing too many pitches in inning, all that kind of stuff. But I think the plan would be that Jack Hess starts. He probably is going to go three or four innings. Let's say four for the sake of argument. Then I think they'd go right to Eric Walker. You know, assuming Hess can finish the previous inning. They're not going to bring Walker into the middle of an inning or anything like that. This isn't them grooming him as a reliever. This is them trying to get him more work. He only pitched in two scrimmages all spring, and they just want him to get more live action before they put him out there for a real start. So I think Hess goes the first three, ideally four. Then I think Walker probably goes the next three, maybe two if he's not that sharp. But I would think three is the plan, and then they hand it over to the back end of the bullpen guys, Beck, Fontenot, and eventually Todd Peterson if they have a lead.
You mentioned Todd Peterson and all the optimism surrounding him. For me, it's refreshing because I don't think this program has known year in, year out recently who that end-of-the-line bullpen closer was going to be. So take us through his development. And I know we had everything with hitting last year in Hoover. But that aside, how is he groomed for this role and breeding this type of optimism?
Well, he was a starter most of his first 2 years. But he kind of had this funny trend where he'd be really good for an inning or two, and then things tended to fall apart. So I think eventually they kind of moved him, or he lost his starting spot, obviously, to Mikhail Hilliard. And then as they kind of figured out more to use him in a one-inning, two-inning maximum role, he really started to find something. I mean, his velocity went up from 92, 93 to more 95, 96. His breaking ball became a little bit sharper. I mean, I don't think it's anything too out of the ordinary. We saw something similar with Zach Hess his freshman year, though obviously he's been more successful as a starter than Peterson was. But I just think he kind of found himself there. He bought all the way in on that role. He got in better shape. He velocity picked up a little bit more. And then it kind of became a phenomenon, you know, a lot like what Hess was the year before where, you know, he comes in there going nuts, firing BBs, and he kind of took the role over all his own and became a real asset to that LSU team last year.
Talking now with James Moran on Twitter, at SmartestMoran. And I got to ask you this. There are three freshman righties that are going to get a chance this week and next to show their wares. Landon Marceau tomorrow afternoon, Jaden Hill Sunday afternoon, and then Cole Henry Tuesday night against Southeastern. If this thing works out perfectly for Maneri, Hess is right, Walker gets back, he gets his mound time. How do you think those three freshman righties, I guess, support this staff moving down the stretch of this season into SEC play?
Well, I mean, it's going to go to whoever pitches is going to get the better role. I think it's a meritocracy in that way. But if you're asking me my opinion, I think Landon Marceau is in this rotation to stay. I think he's got a chance to be as dominant as any freshman pitcher they've had here. And that includes guys like Alex Lang and Kevin Gausman and even Aaron Nola, who I guess wasn't that dominant as a freshman, but we all know what he turned into. I mean, the word that you hear from everybody when you talk to them about Marceau is poise. He's, for being as young as he is, he's a remarkably finished pitcher, if you kind of get what I'm saying. He throws 93, 94 with his fastball to either side of the plate. He's got a good two-seamer that he can kind of throw inside the lefties and run it back to the inside corner. And he's got a devastating 12-6 curveball that he can throw for strikes and a really good changeup that he's got confidence throwing to right or left-handed hitters. I mean, he hasn't given up a run in a scrimmage since he got to LSU. That includes the fall. That includes the game against UNO. That includes the game and three scrimmages this spring. This spring, he's pitched 10 innings and struck out 17. I think he gave up three hits. So, look, those numbers aren't everything. You want to see him do it against a team that's not LSU, especially considering I think most of the time he's pitching against LSU's B team. But I just think that he's in that rotation to stay. I think the ideal scenario, and it kind of there's two ways they can play it, is either two of the freshmen stick in the weekend rotation and Walker is groomed as a midweek starter, or if Walker is right and you put him on Sunday, maybe they move two of those freshmen, maybe Hill and Henry or however it works out, to the bullpen, and then all of a sudden you don't just have Todd Peterson and those two veterans two guys out there that would be flamethrowers in a relief setting. Right now, it doesn't really matter who pitches where. In non-conference play, all these games mean the same. It doesn't matter if it's ULM on Friday or Southeastern on Tuesday. But once they get in SEC play, I know people are going to be like, why wouldn't you groom a midweek starter if you got all these guys? I just think they're going to be more concerned with getting as many of their high-leverage arms into those games that matter more. And the way to probably do that is for three of these guys to be starters and whoever the other two are wind up in the bullpen. I just don't know that Walker can help you as much as a reliever as he can as a starter. And I don't know if he can help you as much as a reliever as those other two freshmen because, based on the fact that they're big and they throw in the low to mid-90s now, I think it's by mid-year, when the weather warms up and you put them in the bullpen where they're throwing one or two innings, I bet you could see guys probably touching 96.
James, the lineup, and I'm talking about the 1-9 hitting lineup, also released yesterday. I'll be brief and ask it to you this way. What was your biggest surprise?
Brant Broussard hitting second. I mean, I figured the 1-2-3 was going to be some combination of Duplantis and Smith, who are up there, and probably someone like Zach Watson or Saul Garza or somebody like that, or maybe even Daniel Cabrera if they were okay with stacking the lefties. But from talking to people, Broussard is one of their leading hitters, if not their leading hitter this spring. He's number one. I think he never really was right last year after he broke the numbers beforehand. He was hitting 360. He comes back, plays about a third of the season. He ends up hitting 260, which tells you that his batting average is in a tailspin ever since he came back. Now, how much of that was his thumb not being right, not having enough grip strength, not having enough bat speed? How much of that was just being an SEC play and facing better pitching? I guess we'll find out. But I think at least for now to start the year, the logic is it's normally cold, it's normally windy. You're normally going to score a lot of runs by playing small ball, and Broussard's probably their best player in terms of bunting, hitting and running, stealing bases. He's kind of more that prototypical two-hitter. I just thought they would more front-load the lineup with their best players, but he does kind of fit in that two-hole, but I have to admit I was a little surprised by that.
Another moment or two. This is the on-deck circle with James Moran of Tiger Rag Magazine getting a live scene setter from Alec Box Stadium. I know that it's going to be a bit of a rotating door at first base, but if you could, your thoughts on Drew Bianco. He'll be first up, and then educate our audience, some of the other freshmen that will get a chance there.
Well, for now, it's going to be Drew Bianco tonight. I just think they like his maturity. Obviously, his dad is the Ole Miss coach, Mike Bianco, so he's spent most of his life around college baseball, in the dugouts, in the stands. I just think they're feeling to handle this moment maybe better than some of the other freshmen. But for now, it seems like the job's going to be a straight timeshare between him and Cade Beloso. Those two guys have kind of separated themselves from C.J. Willis and Gavin Dugas. Not to say those guys aren't going to play or might not find out bats elsewhere, but from talking to Paul Maneri, his thinking is that you can rotate two guys and hope one takes the job and runs with it. If you play four guys, that's not really giving anybody enough at-bats to really make a good impression. So it's going to be Bianco tonight, Beloso tomorrow. Could this turn into a strict platoon? Bianco's right-handed, Beloso's left-handed, perhaps. But I think if one of them plays well enough, they can take the job all their own. I would still say Willis is a dark horse, too. He's got a ton of upside offensively, but I think defensively, these two guys have been the more solid players, and they've hit the most. So for now, it's going to be a Bianco-Beloso timeshare with either going to be, A, a strict platoon, or B, one of them's really going to hit a lot and take the job all their own.
Hey, James, I'll let you go with a question that was posed to me, so I'll pass it on to you. The weather is great right now, you said, so, hey, that bodes well for tonight. I've seen some inclement weather forecasts for Sunday. Is it correct that since it's not an SEC game, they're not going to have the same type of time restrictions on how late that one could go if they have to postpone it any?
No, I think they could move it around just about however they wanted to, I think. You've seen a lot around the league, a lot of people already stacking doubleheaders or moving games forward or back. I don't know if it's bad enough that they're worried about a washout and maybe they think about playing two tomorrow. I don't really know. I haven't looked it up with the weather. But, no, they can move it, play it later, or kind of however they want to do it. I think Air Force is scheduled to play Southern on Monday, so it's not like they're leaving town Sunday night.
You know, we appreciate the time, as always. You've got a regular day job to do, so go do that, and we'll be following at TigerRag.com, Tiger Rag Magazine, and I'll encourage all of our listeners. You'll find it in Baton Rouge on stands, but you can order it at TigerRag.com as well. The baseball preview is out. and it is spectacular. James, congratulations on that.
Thanks, Ben. Always appreciate it, buddy. I'll talk to you again next week.
That's our guy, James Moran. Love it. Boots on the ground. You can't beat that. Here we are, quarter past 5 o'clock, and we're just getting started here with your 5 o'clock hour. Do not forget the reason I'm here. I'm excited about it. I know a lot of you want to listen to LSU and ULM, and you should. It'll be right here. Chris Blair, Doug Thompson, 6:30 pregame show, 7 o'clock first pitch from Baton Rouge. But if you're interested in some of the best high school hoops in the area and in the state, I'll have the live call, Westgate at Northside. Tonight, 7 o'clock pregame show, 7:15. We're expecting tip-off here for the home of the Vikings. That'll be in our sister station, The Rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM in Lafayette, 104.1 in Lake Chuck. We'll be right back in, taking your phone calls. Want to get some of your enthusiasm for opening day. LSU, UL, give us a call, 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Kickstart your day and listen to Sports Chat with Dave Schultz.
Weekday mornings 6 to 9
on Acadiana's.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Minutes after 5 o'clock, back for more Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open, really, for the rest of this hour, but it's going to be your final opportunity this week. So call now, call often, let's celebrate college baseball back in our lives. 706-0111. And you can give us your expectations, LSU season, the Raging Cajun season. Those are our sink or swim questions of the day, and we're leaving them very open-ended. Could be a record. Could be a level that they achieve, a certain tournament, whether it be the regionals, the supers, getting to Omaha. And I'll clarify one thing. I mentioned earlier I think LSU's got the potential to win 20, maybe 21. 22 is probably unrealistic, but somewhere in the 20-21 win range in SEC play. And I said that would almost certainly get you to the point where you're hosting a regional and put you at a good spot for a super regional. Okay, let's clarify here. And I got to brush up on my baseball a little bit. But I'm getting there. It's opening day. Cut me some slack. They win 20 games, they'll almost certainly be guaranteed a national seed. So, yes, 21 at that point would have this as a team that's going to be a top 8 seed and host super regional play at Alec Box. But your predictions, we got time for them. Of course, on another front, as much as opening day is kind of everybody's, you know, flavor, it's what everyone's excited about, the reality is Dell Demps being fired as Pelicans GM is your big storyline, not just locally but nationwide. And Gail Benson pulling the trigger, and she is now seeking a GM that will, number one, take command of the Anthony Davis trade talks, and number two, her own words, reshape the team's future. And there are a couple important things for me there. First and foremost, no more reporting to Mickey Loomis. And that was a lot of what you saw from Dell Demps. Frankly, that type of structure lets you know that you got somebody that maybe you don't trust in his own right. So I think one of the first things I look at is getting somebody with autonomy, somebody with the NBA experience and the ability to rule the roost on his or her own. And so nobody needs to report to Mickey Loomis anymore. You need to take the reins. And there have been suggestions about potential replacements. At least one could come from in-house. Danny Ferry, who's been the GM of the Cavs, has been the GM of the Atlanta Hawks. There are several others that I'm pretty fond of as well. And the one that just leaps to the top of the list for me is the Pelicans hunting for a new GM, somebody who would come in, deal Anthony Davis after the regular season, get all the assets needed, make the draft picks that are earned, during the rest of this tanking season and accumulated through trade. But I really like the idea of David Griffin, formerly the Cavs general manager, and kind of unceremoniously ousted by Cleveland owner Dan Gilbert. And if there were a chance to get him in-house, well, number one, I think he was regarded as one of the sharpest GMs in the league. But above and beyond that, Griffin presided over LeBron James leaving Cleveland. If anybody knows how to get right and get back after the franchise player leaves and rebuild, I would think David Griffin is the most familiar with this exact situation. But according to Steve Kyler, who joins us all the time on the program, some other names that he's hearing could be considered: Larry Harris, who's currently in-house with the Warriors, Mike Zarin with the Celtics, Adam Simon with the Heat, Tommy Shepard with the Wizards, all play huge roles with their current team. So all due respect to Danny Ferry, I think this ends up being an outside hire. I think that the Pels have to go outside to build what ultimately will be within. But what's interesting in the whole conversation, it was made abundantly clear today that right now, at least, Alvin Gentry and his staff are safe. And I, for one, think that is the right call. For the rest of this season, it's definitely the right call. Beyond this season, we'll see. You can't ever guarantee that someone's going to keep their job before knowing who his boss is going to be. That's in any industry. And so let Gail Benson, let the powers that be hire a GM. And if that person likes the way that Gentry's connected with the guys that ended up sticking around New Orleans, which I think should probably include Drew Holiday, could include Julius Randle, yeah, I think the new GM comes in, and if they like the way those people fit with Alvin Gentry and the style of play that he embodies, then maybe it would be hasty to pull the plug on him right now. So Alvin Gentry, so far at least, is going to be safe in this whole deal. But this is step one, and I'm glad to see that Gail Benson made it. And it is time that Mickey Loomis completely divorces himself, in my opinion, from the Pelicans franchise. His role is too important as the general manager of the New Orleans Saints. That team is too good and on the cusp of a championship. Please, Mickey, put all of your eggs in that basket, every single one of them. And Gail, please allow him to do all of those things. But there's almost certainly going to be a new GM, or I should say there will be, but there's almost certainly going to be new blood that's not currently within the franchise that takes over. The other big news of the day, and I touched on this in hour number one, but for our 5 o'clock crowd that has just gotten in the vehicle, LSU football reportedly has made a hire, Mark Hudson, a Cleveland Browns assistant, a guy who was working with their offensive line, has spent his entire career coaching up the offensive side, most notably in the college ranks. He was at Tulane for 5 years, and when Bob Toledo was canned, Mark Hudson became the interim head coach of the Green Wave for a hot minute. But I mentioned, he coached O-line with the Browns. He's coached tight ends for the Oakland Raiders. He's been an associate head coach at Eastern Illinois, and he played O-line for the Oklahoma Sooners. I think we're seeing a new way of building the offensive brain trust. The old way, when the job was first given to Ed Orgeron, was force him to have a sexy splash hire. Went poorly for everybody. Only took a year. Maybe even a little less than that. And Matt Canada was in and out of the turnstiles. But now it's Ensminger at OC. Joe Brady, who came over from the Saints as passing game coordinator and in some capacity as an analyst, not one of the official 10 assistant coaches or coordinators. Mark Hudson's going to be a part of this offensive revamping as well. As part of all this, it's being reported that Steve Kragthorpe is leaving LSU for a job in the NFL ranks. A little shakeup in Baton Rouge today as well. All right, we're going to take a break. We're at the midway point of hour two. When we return, time to throw a little bit of shade, and you know I love high school basketball. But some of the scores, some of what was witnessed last night on the girls' side of the LHSAA playoffs, just disgusting, and I hate it. I got to talk about it next. That, and then you're going to hear some Raging Cajuns baseball conversation. All in a day's work. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the home of the Northside High Vikings on 103.7 The Game.
You You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back out to the home of the Vikings, Northside High School. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Appropriate CD that I'll have to issue a correction during our throwing shade segment. Yeah, I'll point the gun at me, at least for this first one. I completely misread the report before my show today during show prep. So mea culpa, it's not Steve Kragthorpe that's heading to the NFL. Let me correct that. Brad Kragthorpe, his son, is leaving LSU, a former analyst, and so that would seemingly vacate some room from this hire that I just alluded to, Mark Hudson, now coming over from the Cleveland Browns. So, again, let me backtrack that. Let me correct Brad Kragthorpe heading toward the league. And for what it's worth, yes, he still scored in that game against Notre Dame on the fake field goal. You know, look, I didn't have any bad blood over it. Just wanted you to know I was there that day in Nashville, and Brad Kragthorpe, as the holder, did score on that play against the Golden Domers. All right, let's move it on. Time for your daily reminder. Really, it's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management. Top down, it starts with Mark. They're going to help you to create a vision and then fulfill it. You can also trust their professional installers inside your home. And how refreshing is that in 2019? Collectively, the team at Patio Center is ready to up your patio game. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all. For the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
Within the sound of my ears, and you are for the split, let me speak with you for a moment. Round one of the girls' high school basketball playoff started last night, kinda. And I'll tell you exactly why I put it that way. Because several select divisions didn't have a single team play last night. They don't have enough to qualify. In Division 5, they didn't need round 1. They'll start round 2. In Division 1, they not only didn't need round 1, they don't need round 2. They don't have enough teams. Everybody immediately advances, go, and collects $200 en route to the quarterfinals. Is that a joke? Immediately onto the quarterfinals. Not one or two teams that get that super bye, every single one of them. Oh, but there were some games that were played last night, and we do have some scores that we could pass along to you. They're not all lopsided, but here are a few that are, and a little too much for my taste. Let's go to Division II. Number 11, St. Michael out of Baton Rouge. The 11 seed, not even one of the behemoths in that bracket. Number 11, St. Michael beat number 22, Academy of Sacred Heart out of New Orleans. How about the final score of 57-7? 57-7. All right, let's go to Division 4 if you think it's isolated. Another number 11 seed, Hanson Memorial. Not far from the sound of my voice. Beats number 22, Hamilton Christian. Final score, 69-37. All right, that one was at least within 40 points, so maybe it's a little more respectable. But we've got more. Class 5A. And so, again, the select, non-select, BS affecting people on both sides of the aisle. Number 3, Wachita Parish beat number 30, West Jeff, 71-25. I'll give you a few more, but you can probably tell the direction that I'm heading here. We'll go down to Class 4A, Salmon over John F. Kennedy, 80-35. Ellender over Bro Bridge, sorry Lady Tigers to drag you into this, 71-32. South Terrebonne over Buckeye, 48-19. I mean, these are absolute massacres. DeRitter over Morgan City, 76-24. And the beat can go on, and you know it is, and you know it can as well as I do. But I'm not going to give you the rest of Class 3A and down. it's ridiculous that teams with losing records are consistently, not isolated incidents, consistently making the playoffs. In football, it results in smaller teams with fewer players quite literally getting hurt. At least in basketball, it won't result in as many bumps and bruises. It will to the psyche and to the ego, no doubt about it. This is one of the dumbest periods of sport that I've ever lived through at any level, is what Louisiana is experiencing right now when it comes to high school athletics. And I am a huge proponent of high school athletics in this state. I just can't continue to watch it go on like this. Last night was just the latest reason why.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
I can't get over that St. Michael's score. The number 11 seed, 57-7. And you know at that point they're not trying to run it up. I wasn't in the building. I didn't have to be. They only gave up seven. You think they couldn't have scored more than 57 if they wanted. So even in places where it wasn't just cutthroat committee, it's still just theater of the insanity. So I'm glad I got to bring it to your attention if you hadn't seen it yet. Think on that. I'll be right back in. We can take your phone calls, and I'm going to let you hear from two of our great Raging Cajuns baseball analysts we've had on this week. One of them knows the team pretty well because he's an assistant coach. You'll hear from Daniel Freeman, as well as former UL All-American and Lafayette High Mighty Lion, Jace Conrad. As we're getting you ready, first pitch between the Cajuns and the Texas Longhorns at 6:30. We're less than an hour away, so it's time to hear from some of the best. And you'll get them when we bounce back in to Northside High School. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, live on 103.7 The Game.
Is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Excited. We're almost ready to play ball. Yeah, that's right. Over at the Teague and at Alec Box Stadium as well. Opening day and Bumper to Bumper Sports right back in to the home of the Vikings, Northside High on 103.7 The Game. All due respect to LSU. This weekend is big for them. It's bigger for UL. Top 20 team in the country. The Texas Longhorns are in town. And we spent a decent amount of time this week dedicated toward previewing not only the season, but in particular, this series. And I want to run some of that back for you now. Any of this gets you excited? You want to talk a little Cajuns baseball? We'll make time for you, too. 706-0111. Final segment of the show where we will be taking callers. James Rick's going to talk some prep basketball with me on the other side at straight up 6 o'clock. But let's lead with Jace Conrad. Former Raging Cajun joined us Monday. He'll be back with us every Monday this baseball season at 5:30. And as he tells you here, he thinks there's an incredibly high ceiling for Brennan Breaux and with the former STM Cougar, transfer from LSU, what he could mean to this team in the outfield and at the plate.
So Brennan Breaux, in my opinion, he's one of the better outfielders in the country. The kid can run some balls down. He's got a good arm. He runs some good routes out there. So I'm excited to see him get a chance to play this year. And I'm hoping he makes the best of his opportunities.
And you know what's interesting is I like the football terminology because I think it plays there. He runs good routes to the baseball. And that's very similar to what our next guest, assistant coach Daniel Freeman, had to say. He weighed in on Brennan Breaux and said very similar things. There's just not much he doesn't get to. He said basically it's got to be absolutely roped into a gap. Otherwise, the kid is going to track it down. But Daniel Freeman spends the vast majority of his time, you know, when he's not recruiting, dealing with the pitchers. And so we were a little more pitcher-heavy with our questions for Daniel Freeman. And he led off with the guy that's going to lead off the season tonight. His take on Gunnar Leger, how they've eased him into a position to get back onto the bump and the type of role he can play this season?
Well, you know, it's been a long time since he's been out there until the spring, and you know, he had two different surgeries, and you know, it was a long process for him, and you know, he's put in a ton of work as he always does, and we're just excited to get him back out there, man, and see him compete. I think he's up to four innings. He went four innings last Friday, and he's really recovered well the last three outings. So I would say, you know, anywhere from 70 to 75 pitches would be the max, probably what you'll see out of him. And he's been vintage Gunner. He really has. He's went out and really controlled the game, slowed it down, and pounded the strike zone, and you know, been effective like he always has. And we're obviously excited to have him going out there on Friday night.
CD, I got to have at least a little bit of a laugh there. Sometimes even I learn on my own show by osmosis. I told you earlier today in this program that I don't need to see more than 70, 75 pitches out of Gunner. Completely forgot that within the last 48 hours, again, on this program, that's almost exactly verbatim what his pitching coach had to say. Daniel Freeman saying 65 to 70 pitches. So much like you, I occasionally listen to our show.
Yeah, well, hey, sometimes you interview so many people over the course of a week, it's hard to remember exactly every single word they might have said, right?
I'm awake. I am intent on what we are doing here. Nobody asleep at the wheel. First and foremost, Daniel Freeman. And next, he goes in on Sunday starter. And in this series, what's going to determine who that might be? Because they are going to throw Gunner tonight. They've settled on Brandon Young, JUCO transfer from Howard College. Big 6'6 kid that's going to go tomorrow. As far as the Sunday, I believe 1 p.m. start, they haven't determined yet. But here Freeman says, here's how we're going to get to that. Here's our equation, basically.
Well, I think we got, you know, four or five guys that can possibly start that game. With it being early in the year, you know, the starters' pitch counts aren't going to be extremely high. So we're kind of keeping some guys back in the bullpen. And, you know, we're just going to kind of play it by ear and see who has to go out after Gunner and after Brandon on Friday and Saturday, and then we'll make that decision after that. It's just going to, you know, we got Aaron back there. We got working from he was at TCU. I think he went 8-0 his freshman year there. Obviously, he's put some big games. I think Batty's got a chance of doing it. And even Jack, you know, if we feel like Jack's ready to go out and start. So we have some good options. We're just going to kind of see who we have to use in and out of the bullpen on Friday and Saturday before we make that call.
And again, I'll do some reading between the lines. There are two guys I think that they are almost waiting for to claim the role. One of them with performance, the other maybe a little more injury-related than coming back. And the performance-based one's going to be Dalton Horton. And I'm going to tell you, if you built a starting pitcher, he would look a lot like Dalton Horton. That kid is a specimen. I got to see him during a Diamond Club engagement with Tony Robichaux last season when he was sitting out as a transfer. And the former TCU Horned Frog, he looks the part, he fits the bill. He was 8-0 with TCU, but he's got to find a way to get back to the type of kid he was coming out of high school, to be even recruited by TCU, the type of kid he was to get to 8-0 with the Horned Frogs. And so for him, it's a little bit performance-based from everything that I can decipher. And for Jack Burke, and that's the Jack that you were hearing about there with Daniel Freeman, I think it's a little more coming back from injury. He was, lights out. His location, phenomenal in his redshirt freshman season in 2017. 2018 wasn't bad. It just wasn't maybe a fitting encore. And he wasn't exactly right physically toward the end of the season. So getting back right, getting back healthy, Jack Burke is someone I think that they'd like to count on, and I won't count out, as Coach said, Brock Batty in that conversation. One more for Daniel Freeman, and this one, you know, sometimes you ask hard-hitting questions. Others, you put it on a tee. All right, well, what do you expect out of the Teague? And what do you expect out of the crowd? And I kind of had this, that, and the other in my question. And as you hear, Daniel Freeman, he doesn't even need to hear the question. He knows what to expect from that crowd.
Man, I'm not hoping for anything. I know what it's going to be like. Friday night is crazy, man. It's our fans, that's something we don't have to ask for anything more out of those guys, man. I've been a lot of places, you know, to play on the road and seen a lot of environments, and I think ours is second to none. It's been incredible. They always come out. I think Friday night it's going to be a really hard ticket to find. I know my phone is blowing up with people trying to get in the stadium for that night, but we're just excited to get out there in front of them, man. I mean, this community, they love some baseball, and we know they're going to be raring to go, and we're excited to get out there and hopefully have a good performance in front of them.
And, Clint, that's a perfect lead into a topic I wanted to touch on. Before we ended this hour, we got a few minutes left. Again, you're welcome to share in the fun. 706-0111. If I'm not mistaken, Clint, I believe the Cajuns over the last few years, I don't think it was just last year, but I've seen a cumulative running average that attendance was about number 18 in the country. And when you consider the size of the facility, that's pretty darn good. The quality of the facility the last 2 years after the remodeling is just, it's a cathedral. It's pristine. There's no other way to put it. A tremendous place to play and to watch baseball. And so the Cajuns fan base, they've got a real luxury place to go check out. And here's what I wanted to lead into. I saw something on social media today that has made me laugh ever since. And Clint, if you saw it, you got to chime in. If not, I'm gonna learn you today. At Mississippi State's baseball stadium, a place that they lovingly refer to as the Dude, right? At the Dude, there is a new luxury suite that's got its own bathroom, kitchen with like this marble/granite type of countertop. They've got just about everything there that you could want, overlooking the field. Have you seen this? Because if so, you're not allowed to guess. If you haven't, I'm going to let you guess how much it is to rent it out for a game.
I haven't seen the exact amount. I saw stuff about the new Dude, but I haven't seen the exact amounts. I didn't see that outright.
Take a stab. How much to rent that? And it's pretty badass, but how much do you think to rent that luxury suite for a game?
Let's see. I'd probably go around the range of $2,500.
That's actually not a bad guess, but the answer is $4,000.
What?
Dude, I think $4,000. I think $4,000 gets you a deposit on a home in Starkville. To think that you would spend $4,000 to go watch a game between Mississippi State and anybody really is just ludicrous. So unless that $4,000 also mows my grass for a year and pays my dues to the local country club, it's just going to be a hard pass for me. But good on them for anybody who is willing to pay that amount.
Yeah, $4,000, that belongs more in terms of the New York kind of range for an apartment. That is ridiculous, and that should have been considered some throwing shade there because that just sounds like an absurd number.
Little P.S., it's a post-shade. There's no question about that. And I've repurposed all the Skip Bertman Starkville jokes too many times on this show, so I'm not going to run you through that gauntlet again. Suffice to say they are hilarious, but I think that I just stumbled into my own there because I do believe, no matter who your mortgage originator is, I think $4,000 in Starkville would qualify as a deposit on a home. I'm just going to leave that right there.
That sounds about right, Ben. I'm not going to lie. That sounds accurate.
Yeah, you're not a mortgage originator, but you did stay in a Holiday Inn last night. We're just on a roll. We're having a really good time, and we're looking forward to some really good basketball. In fact, right now, I've got the JV teams warming up in front of me. The Northside Vikings, the Westgate Tigers, they're going to tip as soon as we hit our break here at 6 o'clock. And then we are expecting about a 7:15 tip-off, the game we're going to broadcast, the Varsity Tigers versus the Vikings. And it's going to be senior night for a couple of these young men on the Northside portion of the ledger. Billy Sonia and company, their final game at home, unless they can find a way to host one in the playoffs. But don't forget, Northside hosting Westgate, Oliver Winston's Tigers, Coach Jason Herbstler, and the Vikings, and you'll hear it on our sister station. That's the Rewind, 97.7 FM, 1330 AM, here in the Hub City, 104.1 in Lake Charles, Oak Grove. 2 hours down, we got 30 minutes to go. James Ricks is going to be riding shotgun on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back out to Northside High on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, KLWB.
Sharon Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game. And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Sprinting out of the tunnel and into hour number three. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love live from the home of the Northside Vikings. Glad to be with you and bringing you into the weekend on 103.7 The Game. The famous Clint D joining us from inside the 237 Roof Studios. And right now, I am joined courtside and loving the seats by Northside assistant James Ricks. Listeners know he's been on the program before. Coach, we're in high cotton tonight. This is nice.
Hey, this is big time, baby, right? Can't get any closer to the action than right here.
So we're adjacent to the scorer's table right now watching a JV game and getting ready for senior night in the varsity. I want to talk about the history and the rich tradition of Northside Vikings basketball. And I come here, look, I've been here before, the Big Dave Classic, and it's funny, one of the first times I walked into this gym, you guys had a kid playing for a school out of Texas, Jared Allen. And now you can watch him for the Brooklyn Nets and played a year at Texas in between. But you look up in the rafters, you see all the state championships, state runner-up banners, a lot of tradition here. What comes to mind for you as you've been a part of it for quite some time?
Man, this has been a great atmosphere to be a part of. We've had a lot of great kids in the program over the years, even before I got here, back when Coach Hill and Coach Felix Johnson were here. We had great players. You know, they had Durbin Johnson, who went on to go to Southern University, got inducted into the Southern University Hall of Fame. Byron Boudreaux played at the University of Tulsa. He ended up with the holding the assist record at Tulsa for years and years. Then we, coming into the era when we came in 1999, we had great players that ended up 2002 to 2006, we went 135 and lost 15 games.
Wow.
So a lot of tradition on that. And then we left in 2007 and Coach Devin Clark came in. Picked up a veteran team, and they went back to the top 28. You know, 06, we won it all. We beat Ouachita in the finals, beat Peabody in the semis. 13,000 people in the Cajun Dome watching high school hoops was that was a great, you know, it was just fantastic for our kids and our program. And we have great parental support. We have great community support. Unlike a lot of programs, We have good people involved, and we've had great coaches come along. Coach Hill was probably before his time in terms of things he brought to the program. Then Coach Felix Johnson came in after him and did a great job. And then Rick Labatta came in, and Rick and I came in together. And those 6 years we were together, just fantastic. We 2005, we got ranked as high as number 8 in the nation by USA Today. 2006, we got up to number 4. Just people don't know that what's going on the north side until you get over here and see what we have going on. It's a great place, and kids enjoy it. It's a good atmosphere for basketball.
So for our listeners that remember Keelan Williams strictly as a football player, went on to LSU, the Washington Redskins after that, and look, even me, I wasn't in the area at the time, 05 and then into 06. Just what type of basketball player was that young man?
Ben, if he had not been one of the best football players in the state, he would have been one of the best basketball players. Athletic, from free throw line to free throw line. He could get too quick on the bounce than you could just run there. I mean, he was a good player. Didn't shoot the ball well, but he could defend, and he was a great athlete. Keelan was he was fun to coach, you know. And you got to remember, he would come play basketball after he got off the football field. And
those were some long postseasons.
Yes. 05, we go all the way to the Dome and lose to John Curtis in the finals. And those during Keelan's career, we were always semifinals and stuff. So he didn't get a lot of chance to work on his basketball skills, but he was a heck of a basketball player.
Joined by James Ricks, and we're courtside watching a little JV action currently, Northside and Westgate. You get a chance, you need to come out and join us. Court's in great shape. The band's getting set up. Senior night is coming. Tip off at 7:15. Who are some of the other players that maybe you didn't get to just yet that hold a special place in your heart? Guys that not only led this program to great heights on the floor, but you're proud of to see what they've become off the floor.
Well, you have to start with Perry Stevenson, 6'8 kid, led us to the state championship in 06. Signed with Tubby Smith at Kentucky. Went on and played for Tubby. Gillespie and Calipari. His junior year, he was on the same team with John Wall, Boogie Cousins, and those guys. Perry graduated, came back and worked with us here for the first year we were back here in 13, and now he's back in Lexington coaching up there, doing a great job, got married, has a nice family, doing real well. Then you look at Randell Daigle. Randell went on to UL from here, has scored over 1,000 points in 3 years. He's now in corporate America doing real well. In fact, that entire 06 class turned out to be outstanding. They were all good students. They all went on to college, ended up out in corporate America or coaching somewhere. So we've had great success with our kids leaving here and going on.
And you've got some experience as well with, I guess you would say, mentoring young men who become coaches. And your son, Ross Ricks, fits that description. Up until this past season, or I guess until this season, he was the head coach right here at Northside. These days, he's over on Rick Stansbury's staff at Western Kentucky. So what's that ride been like for him? He's part of the Hilltoppers.
Well, he's really enjoying it. It's been a new experience for him. You know, he's Coach Stansbury has given him a lot of responsibility, and he's having to get it on the run. You know, he's he does a lot of individual instruction with the kids, and right now he's actually filling in on a role where he's one of the key guys calling the shots as far as helping the get game preparation together. And the thing I'm proud about him with this change is he picked up 12 hours of graduate work in one semester, so he's going to end up with a master's degree at the end of the summer. And he's really enjoying it. We still talk almost every day like we did when we were here, and he still looks for a little support, a little help. I said, man, I should be calling you for help. You're the big guy.
You know, one of the things that I think about when I come in this gym and via our conversations, I'm happy to bring to the air, the idea of the Big Dave Classic and how that took flight. And you can look up here and even the banners of Big Dave being inducted into various Hall of Fames with AAUs in the South, and the things that he meant not only to the area but specific to your program. I don't know how easy that is to put into words in a short span, but what would you say about the man?
Big Dave was special. He was special. He had a special love for young men and young people, and he would help anybody who would listen. And with our program, we were able to take country kids from Southwest Louisiana and take them all over the country and compete against the national powerhouses and grassroots, and we did real well. And it gave our kids a sense of learning that, hey, we can compete. And it gave us a chance to say, hey, some of these kids had never been out of St. Martin Parish, never been out of Lafayette Parish, never been out of St. Landry, and now here we are at Pauley Pavilion in Los Angeles. Here we are at the Dean Dome in North Carolina. We're over at Coach K's court at Durham, you know. So these guys got an opportunity to really get some exposure. And when it was time for them to branch out, they weren't afraid anymore. And it was all because of the efforts of Big Dave. I mean, he was able to help us get sponsorships, and he ended up meeting Sonny Vaccaro, who's the godfather of grassroots and
future Bumper to Bumper Sports guest.
Yes, sir. We got to make that happen, you know. I still talk to Sonny all the time, and every time we talk, it's about Dave. It's about Dave. And that's how, you know, Sonny is one of the national mentors for all of us. And
let you know how much it really is about relationships there.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Dave was Dave had his unique way of letting everybody know that what he knew what he meant. You know, it didn't always sound right, but it was always right.
Tell me about the college coaches through the years that have come here, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a laundry list of names, but their impression as they come watch basketball at the home of the Vikings.
We've had all of the top 10 coaches come through here over the years. You know, Tubby Smith, Calipari, Roy Williams, and all those guys. We've had those kind of players. And when they come here, they leave with an impression that they didn't come in with, you know, like, hey, it's a great organization, good high school basketball, great discipline. Coaches are doing a great job of teaching. And that's what the Division I coaches miss the most. When they go out recruiting, they see kids who are great athletes, but they don't get taught the basic fundamentals of how to play the game. And And over the years, they've come in here and they've really been impressed with the way the program has been run, whether it was, Rick Labatta or Ross Ricks or whoever. You know, we've had some. But there hadn't been many good Division I coaches that haven't come through those doors. And it's a tribute to the program, not so much to the individual. You know, the program has been good to all our kids.
Well, here's our game plan. We're briefly going to put a plug in it. When we come back, we're going to talk about this year's Northside team, District 4, 4A, and then the outlook going into what will be the Class 4A playoffs, and then for certain teams like St. Thomas More, the Division II playoffs. All that when we return with Coach James Ricks. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports. Coming right back for the final time to Northside High on 103.7 The Game.
Wait. Could it be? Blimey,
oh,
it is.
It's Smokey.
It's Smokey Bear. What a legend.
Hey, it's Smokey. Sorry, it was too high. Right.
Watch as he astutely ensures that there's no wind and how he removes some of the debris to create a smaller, safer burning pile.
No, you said make it bigger, baby. The bigger, the better.
Take note of our fearless furry friend here, humans.
I appreciate it. Fist bump.
Watching you.
Smokey's done it again.
Bye, Smokey.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Your Saturday never truly gets started until the producers take over the airwaves. The famous CD, Blaine Viator, and Cody Schutz will get your weekend started off on the right foot. From the preps to the pros, they'll have it all. Covered with expert analysis from the guys that are typically behind the glass. Get a different perspective with the producers. Saturdays from 10 a.m. to noon. Only on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game.
Green light. Hey, girl. School zone. I'm getting hungry. Car changing lanes. You want to meet me for pizza? Stop sign. Intersection clear. Yeah, street. Pizza sounds good. Ball in street? Girl in street!
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text, stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We could become friends.
103.7 The Game is all over social media.
It's great to be among friends.
And we want to interact with you. Tweet us at 103.7 The Game and vote in our daily Twitter poll.
You suckers will do.
Like 103.7 The Game on Facebook. Comment on daily topics and give us your feedback.
Did we just become best friends?
We want to hear from you. And never forget to check out 103.7thegame.com.
Can't get enough sports talk?
Keep the conversation going all day, every day. With Acadiana's sports station. 103.7 The Game.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station. And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. Live online at 1037thegame.com. Follow on Facebook and Twitter now at 1037 The Game.
This is, in fact, how we do it. Really, it's how we've done it. Each of the last 5 weeks, we've had District 4, 4A games of the week. Started off what feels like many, many moons ago. 5 weeks ago out of Karen Crow High School. The last 3 weeks, we've been at the Cougar Dome on the campus of St. Thomas More. And for one final time, Bumper to Bumper Sports back in to Northside High on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love joined by James Ricks. All right, let's get down to brass tacks with this year's Northside team. Maybe Oliver Winston's Westgate Tigers team, who we're going to see later tonight. Both are heading into the Class 4A playoffs. There's no doubt about that. If it started today, Westgate would be the number 6 seed. Northside would be the number 18 seed. There's probably a little bit of wiggle room there for both teams, but not a whole lot, I would imagine.
No, both teams will probably finish where they are. The bad thing is I would hate to be the team that gets Northside in the first round, Ben, because – Northside's gone through some changes this year. We had some injuries. We lost a couple of kids. And the kids are now starting to gel and play together well. And they're not going to be a typical 18 seed. The same thing with Westgate. Westgate's probably one of the top four teams in the state of Louisiana right now. And they're tough out. When you got to go to the gate, most people don't come out of there with a W. And So that puts them into the – if they can keep winning, they will probably end up home all the way to the quarters. And, you know, that gives them another shot at getting back to Lake Charles. And
so 2 years in a row, if this Westgate team could get to Lake Charles, would be very impressive. For my money, Karen Crow and Christopher Kovac, if they can get back after winning it all last year, might be a little bit more impressive because they've had to almost completely start over. It's a little bit misleading because I know Joe Charles, if he was healthy, would have started last year. We know he hurt his hand. But
right.
With this team they have this year, are you done being surprised with whatever Karen Crow accomplishes?
I think they're good enough to get to the finals again, Ben. Their skill level, and they've developed a good depth. And, of course, Joe Charles and the other kids are just their starting lineup probably is as good as anybody in our region. And, of course, in this district, you got to be ready to play every night because you've got to go to St. Thomas More.
Yep.
You got to go to Rain. And playing in Rain is no easy task, you know. So it's just like coming to Northside having to fight the Vikings. You know, they don't lose many games at home. And tonight's going to be one of those nights where this could be a barn burner. It could go right to the wire. Northside lost to Westgate by four at Westgate earlier in the season. Westgate's very talented, and they're well coached by Coach Oliver Winston. And, you know, Coach Jason Herbstreit's going to have his hands full tonight with this group.
So I'm going to ask you about another team that's in a different district, still from the area in Class 4A, and that's Opelousas. The Tigers right now are number 14. There is a chance, I don't know how good of a chance, that it'll be Northside at Opelousas, first round of the playoffs.
It's very close to happening. Depends on what happens at Livonia tonight with the Opelousas game. I tell you what, if that happens, you better get there early because it's going to fill up in a hurry. Opelousas, I've seen them four or five times this year. Very athletic, good guard play. Not a lot of size, but they move the basketball and they get good. You know, they're going to play fast and they won't make you play fast. And if that's not your game, you could be in trouble in a hurry because they can score 8-10 points. And they just picked up a kid at the semester. His dad was a great player at Opelousas, a guy by the name of Ron Rubin. His son just moved in from Houston, 6'3 kid with big time range, and he just adds more fire. You know, more fuel to the fire for the Tigers. And I have to give Coach Lorenzo Williams his props. He's coaching boys and girls right now and has done a great job with that group.
I'm going to give you some props. You're not that advanced in age, but your memory is better than mine. You just pulled somebody's dad probably from 15 years ago on the Opelousas High team right out of left field.
Yes, sir. Ron Rubin was one of the better players to come out of the city at that time. And he was on that team with Coach Robert Lee, played for Coach Robert Lee. They went to the Dome that year, his senior year, and Ron Rubin and Lionel Brown and Robert Hammond, Sam George, Benny Gilbo, that group. That was a good group.
All right, give me the most entertaining, lively places to play in this Acadiana area, modern day and even when you first got here in 99, because I'm sure the answer probably has changed a little bit.
It's changed a little bit, but not a whole lot, Ben. I mean, to me, one of the most interesting environments is the Northside STM atmosphere. And we've played in the Cajun Dome. We've played at Blackham Coliseum. And home to home is, you know, both places of field. And, I mean, the athletes have just been tremendous, you know. We play a regular season game at the Cajun Dome. We have 6,000 people there. And that's big time for high school in this area. Some of the other places, the Opelousas High presents an interesting environment, but also the Christmas holiday spectacular at Northwest High School. It's five deep all on the baseline. There's not a seat in the house. I don't care who's playing, and it's just good high school basketball.
I called a game, and it was a non-district game, LCA at Northwest. At this point, Galen Alexander was a senior, so it must have been, I guess, 2 years ago at this point. But to watch, yeah, Galen and Greg Williams, it was right after the Ledoux twins had left. But on the other side, the kid August Pete, who I know went on to play football at Rice. And, I mean, even that night for that game, the place was coming unglued.
And back in the day, man, when Northwest was play zones, you'd go there, gym would hold 400 max, and you got 1,500 people stacked in there. You got bring the football bleachers from out on the football, put them on the stage, and you've got St. Aug with Coach Bernard Griffin and all the great kids, Kerry Kittles and all those guys coming in. You've got back in the day you had McKinley with their great group and Capital High and Estruma. And what was it, pit the big schools against the little schools, Leonville, Washington, Melville. And I'm telling you, the atmosphere was unbelievable. Kids would be sitting along the floor.
There's one school I haven't heard yet, and I've been told time and again, Ben, you're relatively speaking new to this area. You don't have any idea what late 90s, early 2000s St. Martinville was like.
Oh, that's a big Dave Holler. Oh, you're talking about the Ville. Hey, that tournament that they have out there over the years has been one of the best high school events. You get the New Orleans teams, you get the local teams, you get everybody there. And Coach Darryl Mitchell puts on a heck of a show, and hospitality room is second to none over there. But it's you know, when we were all in the same district, Brobridge, St. Martinville, Northside, any night that you went in the gym, it was like wall to wall, good high school basketball. Go watch Darryl Mitchell Jr. You couldn't beat where you were, you know. I mean, so we've had some, and when you look at the kids who have come through all of these programs, Ben, the success rate has been very high, and I've been blessed to be here. And you know, coming out of the Memphis area, where when I left Memphis was a hotbed for high school hoops. The Penny Hardaway's, Baskerville Holmes, Steve Mitchell, and all those guys, Andre Turner, that group came on to play LSU in the regionals that year, you know. So I was used to seeing good high school hoops, and this has just been a continuation of what I was used to seeing.
Well, I do want to say, as we got to start winding it down, sincere thanks to you, Coach Herbstler, the administration here. This is twice in an academic calendar year. You and I had some fun at the football press box, I believe, in October, and now here we are, the 15th day of February, final day of the regular season, at least for boys basketball, and I'm fortunate enough to be back. Thanks for rolling out the black and red carpet, as it were.
Hey, we love having you here. We appreciate what you guys do for grassroots and high school hoops, as well as football, and we're happy to be a part of the family there, Ben, and I look forward to seeing you down the road somewhere where we can hook up again.
That's a deal. I'm going to sign off, then we'll watch some JV basketball.
You talk me into it.
There we go. James Ricks has been with us for the last half hour. And for the last 2.5 hours, you've been listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports. Great guest list on a Friday. Keith Hornsby led us off today at 4:15. You talk about a shooter. He leads the NBA G League in three-point percentage. He said it today, and when this man says it, you can bank it. He said, Ben, I don't think I could shoot the three any better right now if I tried, because trust me, I am. Our thanks to Keith Hornsby, former LSU Tiger, in the 4 o'clock hour. James Moran, editor of Tiger Ag Baseball, gave us our LSU baseball scene setter today at 5 o'clock. And then for the last 30 minutes, James Ricks. Dynamite day, dynamite week. Big time stuff here on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For the famous Clint D., my name is Ben Love. LSU baseball coming up next against ULM. I'll have Westgate at Northside on our sister station, The Rewind. Enjoy your sports weekend. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.